Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. The people that broke into contemporary Christian music back in the late 70s and into the early 80s, my friend Morgan Cryer was one of those guys, one of the original Jesus rock dudes. But there's others, of course, Amy Grant and Michael W. Smith. And I know they're like grandparents now, but they were like the happening kids in those days. And Michael had written a simple little chorus that went like this. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto he and a group of other songwriters were at the Caribou Ranch in, I think it's Montana, and Amy Grant was there, and he played it for Amy and then said, you know, I don't have any verses for this. I don't know what to do. So Amy, had that in her head when she's trying to find her cabin after dark, and it's dark there. And she lost her way, and she saw one light off in the distance, and she followed it, ended up being her cabin because she had left a light on in it. And there's like bear out there and stuff. She walked in and she wrote the two verses that go with this song. But let's try the chorus part. I want you to sing it with me like this.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I've lost my way, still that you're there right beside me. Nothing will I fear as long as you are near. Please be near me to the end.
Say,
thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're the light unto my path. You're the light unto my path.
Hey, good singing. Give yourselves a hand. That was very nice. Very good. Several have been asking, okay, I've listened to this gospel stuff, this good news stuff about Jesus. What am I supposed to do with it? What is it to believe? What does it mean? It's having it in your head that it's true. It's believing in your heart that it's for you. And then it's asking Jesus to forgive you. telling you believe he's the Savior. It's simple, right? It happened. To Chris Christopherson when he wrote, "Why me, Lord? What have I ever done to deserve even one of the blessings I've known? Tell me, Lord, what did I ever do that was worth loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Try me, Lord, if you think there's a way I can try to repay all I've taken from you. Maybe, Lord, I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hand.
Thanks.
All right, we're in 1 Peter. Let's pray together before we read the scriptures. Lord, here we all are. We've gathered together on this Sunday like you told us to get together. And we've opened this book, and it's yours. This is your word, and you've given it to us, your people. And it is to be the guide of our lives, used by the Holy Spirit in our lives to help us. Thank you for its truth, which it is all truth. And we ask, Lord, that you would open it to each of us today and apply it to our particular needs as individuals, and only you can do that. So we count on you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Beginning at verse 11 is where we're going to read. Peter, writing to the folks, "So I will always remind you of these things, even though you know them and are firmly established in the truth you now have. I think it is right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made it clear to me, and I will make every effort to see that after my departure, you will be able to remember these things. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory saying, 'This is my Son, in whom I am well pleased.' We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. And we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as to a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation.
For prophecy never had its origin in the will of men, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. Peter, what a guy. We've already covered the first part of this chapter. Really interesting in that Peter, he's an old dude and he's toward the end of his life. Something's about to happen to Peter in the next year or two after the writing of his second letter here. He is going to be taken out to be executed by the Romans. And this was commonplace in Rome at this time. Christians were being murdered every day. When Paul wrote about it, he said, when he wrote to the Romans, we are like sheep for the slaughter, when he talked about the difficulties of Christians at the time. In this, he's about to be led out and they're going to crucify him, mocking the crucifixion of Jesus. And he asked for one request, that he would not be killed like his Lord. He talks about his own death here. And that's very interesting to me. These people are going through tremendous loss, tremendous trouble. I mean, the world is against them. They're being killed every day. And their hero, Peter, is about to leave. This world is a tough place because it's tough and your heroes die. And he's just preparing them. And he talks about death this way. He says, after my departure. I love it when these old guys talked about death. It wasn't about a ceasing of existence. He was about to leave, he said, the tent of his body. This thing's getting rolled up. I'm out of here. I'm departing. That just means you're changing locations. When a Christian dies, it's not death. It's just a going to heaven. It's just a changing of location. When the Apostle Paul was talking to the elders at Ephesus before he was going to also go to Rome and would be executed there, he tells them about false teachers that are going to come in among them. And he says, I know that after my departure, what is he talking about? He was leaving and going to Rome. He was on his way to Rome. They all said, don't go. They're going to kill you. Don't go. And he said, come on, I'm going. After my departure, he was going from point A to point B. The death for a Christian is going from point A to point B. Paul said, for me, I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. There's no comparison. I love that. I just thought that's just a side line I thought I would throw out to you. So Peter's about to leave them sometime soon. And he's giving them stuff he wants them to hold on to. Remember this stuff when I'm gone. Cling to it. It'll get you through it. The first thing he talked about in 2 Peter chapter 1 was this. He said to them, watch yourself. And he gives them this whole list. Make sure you're adding all of these things to your own life. It's so easy to judge everybody else. Oh, man, they need to get their act together. No, you need to get your act together, is what Peter's telling them. And look, as the world falls apart, you worry about you doing the right things, okay? Okay. Second of all, he goes now into this section, and he's telling them something super important that they have to know. I told you Debbie's dad is in the last days. And it's interesting what's happening. He's always been a fighter. He's a Greek, man. He's tough. And he was saying to me earlier this week, they've got to find a pill. There's got to be a doctor somewhere. And I said, Dad, there's only one doctor can fix this, and that's Jesus. You're in the last days. Have they told you that you're dying? I'm dying. I said, yeah, Dad, this is it, man. So you know what he started doing? Telling everybody goodbye. I had to leave the room. He got with Debbie, and he started telling her how good of a daughter she had been, how much he loved her. Now listen, that's a miracle, because the tough old dude that never told anybody much of anything, and now he knows these are his last moments, and he's making right use of them. It's beautiful. That's what Peter's doing. He's telling these guys, look, there is no time to spare. Get this stuff down. He began, focus on this. Well, where does he take them? Well, first of all, he tells them how important the message of the gospel is and where they got it, okay? Notice where Peter and the other apostles, the other guys, got it. He says this to them in verse 16. We did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came from him, from the majestic glory, saying, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased.
We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. Okay, Pete tells him where he got it. He said, we did not follow made up stuff, cleverly invented stories. Cleverly invented mean we created something to manipulate you. It's not truth. It's something we want to invent to manipulate you. Religious people do that all the time. All the cults do. All the false religions do. They push it. They create a narrative and force it on the public and act like it's something supernatural when it isn't. Peter said, we didn't make this stuff up. Did you hear about the accountant that was trying to get a job with a mob? With some mob don in New York City? They brought him in for an interview. And the boss said, let me ask you something, boy. Let me ask you. How much is 2 + 2? And the accountant leaned into the boss's ear and said, what do you want it to be? Make it up, man. Make it up, right? People do that all the time. And Peter says, listen, we did not cleverly invent stories, fables, spinning a story. We're not doing that. The word for fables here is very interesting. It means a closed little secret made-up thing. Where when you compare it to truth, truth is the looking at facts. No spin, baby. This is exactly, we're telling you, we didn't make this stuff up. We didn't float this on you, if you want to put it that way. Well, how did they get it? If you didn't follow that, where did you get it? Get this. We did not follow cleverly invented stories in verse 16 again when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Notice that. It wasn't just Peter. It was all the boys, okay? And the girls, I should say, too, because over 500 people saw Jesus at one time even after his resurrection. He said, we, but he's talking about a particular moment in history when he and two other guys heard something from God the Father. We were eyewitnesses of his glory. You remember the story? Jesus went up into a mountain and he took Peter, James, and John, the three. And when they went up there, something incredible happened. Jesus began to glow and two people appeared to them, Moses and Elijah. Okay, Moses, of course, you know who Moses is, Elijah, the great prophet of the Old Testament. These guys were like dead. Well, not Elijah. He was translated into heaven without dying, but Moses had died. And there they are all of a sudden, okay? And then a cloud overshadowed them, and God the Father said something that they heard with their own ears. This is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. And it's very interesting. I mean, it said they fell on the ground like they were dead. I love that because he said we heard it with our ears. And there's three guys there, not one. One guy, you can't trust one guy. That's just one witness, right? He might have made it up, might have had a vision, might have had too much pizza. We don't know. But when three agree on it, saw it, and talked about it, they were eyewitnesses. You want to get a story? Make sure you talk to the eyewitness. I've told you several times about my friend Steve Ronk's grandfather when he was killed in downtown Clarkston at the old Morgan service. He was working there in 1928. His wife lived down the street on Main Street there in Clarkston, and the boys had come home and were showing off their hunting rifles, had come home from hunting, and one discharged and went through the wall, and later on they found Mr. Ronk dead on the other side. The Pontiac paper said one thing. The Clarkston paper said another thing about it. I saw the articles. So I'm talking to Bill Kelly, who was in his 90s in 1980s. He's still running the lumber yard in Clarkston. Not now, he's in heaven running the lumber yard. But anyhow, I said to him, Bill, I've got these two stories about Mr. Ronk. Which one's true? And he said, well, let me tell you, I was there that day. And he told me blow by blow what happened that day. Guess who I could trust? The eyewitness. These guys are saying, we're not following stuff somebody made up. We saw this. And it's interesting, they don't talk about Jesus' miracles in this. They talk about God telling them. God endorsed Jesus to them. That's huge. He was not alone. They were eyewitnesses. It's really, really something. You know, you can only get into certain areas when you go to Washington. Remember, you have to have a security clearance to get in there? you notice the president's been revoking some people's security clearances and all that hubbub that goes on with all that stuff? But I'm going to tell you something very interesting. Having the security clearance to go into some secure area, well, these three guys got the security clearance that day. They were in the very presence of God the Father in a way that barely a human can be in without dying. This is my Son whom I love. In him I am well pleased. And God's words to them were so interesting because they mean something. He's not just saying I love him. He's using particular words in the original language in the Bible here, the Greek in the New Testament, where he said, this is my Son, my beloved Son. He's always been my Son. He is my Son and he will always be my Son. With him I am well pleased. I have always been well pleased. I am well pleased and I will forever be well pleased. I mean, it's beautiful. God gave him this incredible endorsement. We ourselves heard the voice, Peter said. There's no hallucinating, none of that stuff. What they heard was incredible. Ever try to get a job and want a really good resume? So you want to put different people down that will say good things about you? I always wanted my mother on the resume. They'd never take that. I didn't want them talking to the old man. I didn't want... You want to see Jesus' resume? Do you want to know who vouched for him? God the Father. That's pretty big stuff. God the Father vouched for him. Jesus was not just a man. Jesus was God walking around in a human body. He was 100% God, 100% man, all at the same time. I know it's not possible, but it is because he was. Do you ever about the king that wanted to visit the people of his kingdom, but he didn't want to go with all the fanfare. So he dressed as a peasant and he went down into a little village all alone, no security detail, nothing. And he went into a little pub and sat at a table with a bunch of guys. They talked, and then after a while he got up and walked out. And one man said to the other, George, who was that? He said, I don't know. He looks like a peasant, but he talked like a king. That's what they said about Jesus. So the guys, where'd they get this stuff from? They got it from God, all right? They saw it, they witnessed it. And when you start talking about the resurrection like we will in a couple of weeks, it's unbelievable, the witness, the proof that we have of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there's more than that. He then goes on to talk about the scriptures that they had at that moment, which was the Old Testament. In verse 19, and we have the word of the prophets made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it as a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. What happens is that everything about Jesus was foretold in the Old Testament. And when you find out who Jesus was, the entire Old Testament opens up to you. You know, you read the Jewish commentators of Isaiah chapter 53 that depicts the crucifixion before crucifixion was invented by the Romans. That's amazing. Hundreds and hundreds of years beforehand. Amazing. When you read the Psalms about the piercing, about the promises of the coming Messiah, it is truly, truly amazing. The prophets foretold it, and enough that they foretold it that when the disciples met Jesus, for instance, you've got Philip going to his brother Nathanael. These are two of the disciples, ended up traveling with Jesus for 3 years. When Philip went to Nathanael, he said, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth. They knew he was coming. Andrew went and found his brother Peter and said, we have found Messiah. Any Jewish boy knew what that meant. Messiah, the Savior. I mean, that's what they knew. But now that you come to know Jesus, the whole Old Testament lights up. It's like a light, it says, shining in a dark place. They're made more certain, not that they're made more true, but the light comes on like for you. Aaron and Tracy are building a house. And Steve Keglevitz, Clearview Electronics, he does theaters and, you know, TV stuff and audiovisual, bunch of electronic stuff. Well, he was installing the TVs. Now, you got to understand something about me. I own two televisions. They were awesome when I got them 100 years ago. They're monsters, man. Dude, they were 32-inch I still own them. In fact, now I just watch stuff on my iPad because it's almost like a large screen TV. Because, you know, when you hold this up to that little TV, this is way bigger, okay? So I stopped by the house the other day while Steve's crew had installed the TVs. And I didn't think the electrical was done yet. So I jokingly said to Aaron, hey, let's turn on the Golf Channel. He said, all right. Boom! And there's this like 100-inch TV. I don't know how big this thing is. It's bigger than my car, it seems like, on the wall of the living room. And bam, it was the Golf Channel. I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I just didn't see, you know, Tiger and all those guys. I could count the blades of grass between the club and the ball. I mean, I've never seen any. It was HD, baby. I have got to get me one of those, okay? My life has been forever changed, okay? Listen, when you come to find out who Jesus is, and then you open the Old Testament and start reading through it, and look at that history, and look at those predictions of the prophets, the lights start coming on. The HD starts happening. You go from a little 32-inch to a, you know, theater quality, unbelievable stuff. It's amazing. It says it's like a light shining in a dark place. You know, it's really strange. We live in a day of darkness where people spew their darkness and are proud of their ignorance. We're hearing so many young people that want to lead our country that have no understanding of anything except their anger. And they don't know what they're talking about, and they're proud of it because they think they're so smart. Is there anything darker than that? But when you look to Jesus, the light comes on. It all starts. The light is just referring, of course, to understanding. These guys, where they got their message, the Old Testament prophets, there were them also talking about Jesus. But over this whole thing of what we know about God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and his plan for the world to fix this broken place, there was a superintendent over all of it. Let me read this to you. Above all, verse 20, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation, for prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. There is a superintendent, God himself, who has directed the production of the Bible. That's the only reason. I mean, look at the prophecies about Jesus in there. Read the Gospel of Matthew this week and just check every time it says, this happened to fulfill was written by the prophet. Check that out. And of course, and Matthew is writing to the Jewish people with that gospel. It's very important. He keeps lining it up with Scripture. It is amazing. And you need to look through that. It shows us that the superintendent over this entire job of God revealing himself to the world was God himself. It says here, above all, you got to know this. This isn't man-made stuff. This is supernatural revelation from the living God. We believe that the Bible is the Word of God. It is exactly what God intended. Not the ideas, the words. We believe in what's called verbal plenary inspiration. That's just a theological term for we have what God intended. We have his word. It said here that no prophecy came about from the prophet's own interpretation. Peter talked about this in his first letter. Let me read this to you. These guys are prophesying about the coming Messiah centuries, millennia ago from this time, and yet they didn't know what they were talking about. Just look at this. Concerning this salvation, this is 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves but you. When they spoke of these things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things. Do you see that? It didn't come from them. It came from the superintendent of the job, God the Holy Spirit. It's very clear. The Holy Spirit, it says something really cool here. It says, so verse 21, Prophecy never had its origin in the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. In a sailboat, the wind fills that sail, and the wind moves you. It's awesome. When Peter says, holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit, it's a term that depicts a ship in the sea when the wind blows into its sails. Where did the propulsion come from? Now, we're all out in the boat. We got our tack. We've got everything set. We're ready to go. But we go nowhere without the wind. And when the wind blows, it propels us where we're supposed to go, right? That's the picture of the prophets of Scripture. Holy men of God spoke as they were carried along, propelled by the Spirit of God. The Scriptures are true. We have every evidence in the world to cling to that. The world can say whatever they want to, stay in the Scriptures. That's what Peter's saying. The times are tough. The times now are tough. What's our number one place to stay? In the Scriptures. This is the truth. And the culture's lying to you. It always lies. Remember Johnny Westmiller, the original Tarzan? But Johnny Westmiller, what an incredible guy. I was looking at photos of him swimming. He's a, you know, of course, a Olympic gold medal winner and all that stuff. And he played Tarzan. He had the cute girlfriend, had the pet monkey. Pretty great life, right? Living in the jungle, pretty great. They said to Johnny, what did you learn most by playing Tarzan in that movie? I mean, what do you think of it? You know, movies in those days, right? Movies in the 1930s and 40s where he's playing Tarzan. There, I mean, it had to be, that's the golden age, right? I mean, what did you learn? He said, the most important thing I learned is this. Hold very tightly to that vine. Okay? Hold very tightly. Peter is saying to us, like, I'm going to tell you something super important. Here it is. Hold very tightly to this. You get that? It's really important. So let's do that. Let's recommit ourselves to be listening to the Scriptures. Let's stand together and pray. Lord, thank you for the incredible word that you've given us. And I just love how the apostles keep sending us back to the Scriptures. Help us, Lord. You know, we think we're smarter. We think that somehow the world was a darker place in those days. Wow. Help us, please. Would you please give us understanding and help us. As Peter says, you do well to pay attention to these things. So may we be doing that. Thank you for your wonderful care of your incredible plan, not letting us go, but sending a Savior for us and then giving us a witness so solid as the apostles and the prophets. We thank you for this. And thank you that you're giving us the witness of your own Holy Spirit in our lives, the one who breathed out the book, lives in the hearts of every believer. Lord, I ask that you would guide us and help each of us in our lives. Father, we thank you for this time of year. We also know that these holidays are difficult for those who have lost their loved ones. So we ask that you would do this, that you would fill those empty places. We look forward to home and heaven, but till then we ask for love and peace and faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.